Welcome to the Yoga Therapy Hour podcast. Today, our guest is Elizabeth Ralph, and she is the spiritual investor. On her podcast, The Spiritual Investor, her website, Instagram, it's all spiritual investor. And I didn't know Elizabeth before this interview, and it's always a little scary to step in with someone you have no idea what they're going to say. And my main concern is how many yoga therapy, Ayurvedic practitioners are suffering right now financially because business is challenging at the moment, or has been for a few years now for many, many people. So I had shared that with Elizabeth to say we need to be very sensitive. I don't really want to spiritually bypass and just tell people that, you know, shame on you. You created your own reality. Where you sit now, if you just did it better, you know, maybe you could get someplace better. I really wanted to make sure we weren't going to go down that path. And of course, she was never going to go down that path. And what I came out with is what we do in yoga. That is, how can we feel good? How can we feel the prana flowing more of the time? How can we be present to that sensation and feeling of being in this present moment with the prana flowing? And really, that's where it's at. And, you know, one of the ways I do that every morning is I get up early and I go to the YMCA to have a swim. And I feel the water across my skin, which is very pleasant. And I bring myself into the present moment in prayer as I'm swimming. And it is the most enjoyable hour of my day. And it really sets me up for being in that sattvic place. So that's the kind of thing that Elizabeth is talking about in this episode, is what do you need to do to get yourself feeling good, feeling centered, feeling safe, pleasant sensation. These are my words, not hers, but just to say, how do we get more of that and stay there? And everything else will unfold from there. So let's go over and meet Elizabeth. I think you're really going to enjoy this episode, and I'm excited to share it with you. Welcome to the Yoga Therapy Hour podcast. Did you know that we give a free gift with each and every guest? Every month, we go back and find a gift either from the guests themselves, or we find a research article or something really interesting that goes along with the topic, and we send it out once a month. There's many different categories you can sign up for, and look in the show notes and it will show you how you can get to that link to sign up for our free gift every single guest. All right, let's get into the show and go meet our guest for today. Welcome, Elizabeth. I'm so happy to have you here today.
Thank you. Me too. It's going to be great.
Elizabeth, I was listening to your podcast in preparation for what we're going to talk about today. And it just struck me that your energy is so calm. And in yoga terms, I would say there's not any grasping. So can we start there? Because I think when we think about finances and money and sustenance and how am I going to survive and can I pay my rent, a lot of grasping and stickiness and fear comes in. And the energy I get on your podcast, which is called The Spiritual Investor, it doesn't have that grasping, sticky feeling. Tell me about that.
Well, thank you for noticing that. It's a reflection to you that you get that from listening or being in someone's energy, right? I think that if I just start with myself, right, then I will say that I'm always looking for the effortless path. And in some areas of my life, it is more challenging. I've always felt money. I've always felt the market, I've always just the energy of money has just always seemed very me, you know, like it just flows through without resistance. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't have my own different new versions that I have to meet of myself. I mean, I'm not my billionaire version right now because I'm not a billionaire. And so there's a reason for that. Everyone who, whatever amount of money you have coming to you is because you've decided that that's who you are and that's what you're going to allow. So I'm still working on that, those type of things, because I'm getting to my next level. I think the difference is my standards are high when it comes to, I will not choose the difficult path, because I know the difficult path is the slow route. It's the route that makes us feel exhausted. It's the route that makes us question everything. And I know that the greatest power is in the silence. It's in the calmness. And the more I can manage my own energy to stay in that state, the easier life becomes. Now, like I said, just using this as myself as an example, I feel like we all kind of have an area that maybe is like the rock in our shoe, you know, where we, it gets all out of sorts and we beat ourselves up and it's just challenging a lot. For a lot of people, this is money, which is why I'm helping people with money, because I feel like I can sort of, I'm almost like bringing them into the energy of this and then sort of guiding them to figure it out rather than like bombarding them with, this is the way you have to do it, because I don't believe that we are here to be told what to do. My challenging area is relationships. I have been, you know, getting my butt kicked and, you know, learning about relationships and things like that. So it's a gift because, you know, what it does is it grounds me into doing the work on myself, which then opens me even more for people and to go out into the world. And so hopefully by sharing this, this could give the listeners somewhat of an idea of how this works, but also to bring some forgiveness to, we all have our areas that we show up and we're like, oh my God, who was that freaking person? And that's kind of the way it's supposed to be. And the more we can get in line with, it's supposed to be right now that you could be struggling with money. The moment of acceptance for that opens up the space for something new to come in and for you to show up new. And that's really just keep doing it over and over again.
So when you say kind of sit in the silence, that's not like sit back and do nothing and grow into your couch.
Right. And I think that there is a distinction that definitely needs to be made here, because I think when people say, oh, I'm taking space, a lot of times what that can be is that can be going into a state of waiting. And waiting is low frequency energy. You can be taking space and doing the work. And that is totally different than stepping back into the shadows and going, I need the 3D world to show me what my next move is. That is giving your power away completely. And it's also not recognizing that the 3D world can be wrong too. The only thing that is not wrong is what you feel within. And you know when it comes from within, especially people listening to this podcast, versus when it is coming outside of you. You don't need a whole lot of answers. You just need to believe the answers that are coming to you.
There's so many questions going on in my mind right now. Many yoga people, especially, have the ability to self-regulate, to get calm, to be with themselves. But then when it comes down for a lot of us to our beliefs, we might have resentment against wealthy people because we have judgment about that. We might have ideas of, you know, about we have to work hard to get what's coming to us. I mean, you had said you have a very high standard for, I assume, what you say yes to and what you say no to based on how hard that path will be. I think a lot of yoga people say, oh, a hard path, let's go down that path. So can you talk a little bit about what you said, that you have a high standard around the paths that you choose in terms of, I guess, ease?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I pretty much see my job, my entire job is really to manage my energy. The more I manage my energy, the more I can show up in spaces like this or spaces for the students or wherever, even just an individual that I'm speaking to. My goal is always, how much power can I bring to the moment? So for example, right now, we're having this conversation. Our intention, both of us, is to help people out there. There's nothing else that exists in this world right now except for doing this. There's nothing behind this. It's direct energy. Now, I went for a walk before this. I sat in silence. I have a song that's a mantra that I listen to. I don't wait until I get in the moment and then figure it out based on what the 3D world is showing me, because I'm not controlled by that world. I actually prepare for it. In other words, I elevate my standard and then I live into the responsibility I need to take to get into that standard. And then I show up and the universe meets me there.
So what is your standard? Because I think for a lot of us, we cannot fathom the standard you're about to share, if you're willing.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, when I'm saying standard, even though that is something we're talking about in the 3D world, my standard is literally dynamic when I think about it in my mind. And I also have a recognition that I am evolving and expanding. We all are. I mean, let's face it, we're going through a massive going within, getting to know ourselves in a new way. Given that is something that is always changing, I have to allow my standards to change. Otherwise, I'm trying to fit my expanded self into something that I've made up that is more rule boundary based. So I'll give you just an example. So I just did a speaking retreat in Bali. I just got home 2 weeks ago. Before I went there, I knew that women were going to fly from all over the world. They were mostly mothers. They were coming there to see, it was myself and then a very good friend of mine. We co-hosted it. And they had to do a lot to leave their children behind, to coordinate all of that, the expense that it cost them to go to Bali, everything, right? So instead of thinking about myself there, what I did is I said, I'm going to manage my energy for 2 weeks in a way that I want to show up for these women there. And it was literally one of the best experiences of my life. Well, one of the things that they said was, we learn so much from you in the silence of you. Now, I didn't plan that. You can't orchestrate that plan if you tried. You can't, because it doesn't fit in the 3D. All we can do is utilize the 3D in order to be and to live into the standards that we've chosen, and then show up. But when we show up, we have to let it all go.
So it sounds like you manage your energy to show up as a potent, calm, alert, balanced version of yourself. And then once you get in the moment, like even this interview, you allow the opening and try to just stay present.
Exactly. And let me give you the flip side of this too, because I am not perfect and I'm not a superhuman either. So what I ended up doing is, this was a 5-day retreat. It went from 6 in the morning. I actually taught yoga at 6 o'clock in the morning, even though I'm not technically a yoga teacher. I've been doing it my entire life. And I was the most likely candidate out of all the people that were staying there. So I taught yoga at 6 o'clock in the morning. Then we had a private chef that made breakfast, and then we had about 30 minutes to relax, and then we started the day. So I was literally like on stage talking to people, da 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 da. Lunch, a little bit of time, dinner's at night. You get the picture. 9 o'clock, I'm in bed at 9 o'clock, and I'm just exhausted, right? But then I'd wake up the next day so refreshed. I felt like I was floating because I'm helping all these people and I'm having a great time. I've severely underestimated the amount of energy that was requiring of me. So where my journey is I've gotten pretty good at letting in and sort of conjuring up the energy. My journey is the recognition that when I need to refill the cup, because then, like a few of us friends, we got a different place in Bali and we just went. We just saw things. We stayed up late. We did all of this stuff. Well, I got ready. I flew back to Australia where I was staying and I got sick. So my body was like, nope, or shutting down. So I had a big learning lesson because I spent the last part of my trip sick.
Right.
And so I'm on this just like everybody else.
Okay. So I think this is awesome because a lot of yoga teachers, yoga therapists, Ayurvedic practitioners, health and wellness people, they kind of understand how to get into this state that you're speaking of, and maybe even are far along the path in how to manage the energy. But I think where we get stuck, and maybe this is where you can help us, is our beliefs around money. So what do we need to think about in terms of beliefs? And if you use the word 3D again, if you could define that in the sentence too, that would be great for our listeners.
Yeah, well, let's just kind of attack that one now. So in my mind, we're all kind of, who knows, language is language, but it is the world around us that we see, the physical world, the movie that we're all kind of like playing in right now. That's kind of what I think of it as. We are utilizing our energy in order to create the world that we see in the 3D, and then that is reflecting back to us who we are within, right? Which, you know, I'm sure you probably similar to what you're thinking as well. You know, you talk about money beliefs. I mean, you know, there's so many different routes and roads and angles you can go with that. What I will say is that, especially if you look on social media and things like that, I think that people are under the belief that it's going to take you a long time to get rid of money beliefs and you have to do all this work and da da da. When in fact, you don't really. You can actually bypass a lot of your money belief system with just, you know, a few things. I mean, even just being present will help you bypass it. One of the things that I think has been helpful to the students is I teach this concept called the money conduit. And basically, you are a clear channel for information. And a lot of people feel that, right? They're like, it's coming through them and it's for the benefit of others. I would think especially yoga teachers who are highly creative, connected, right? Money is no different than that. And so when you are in the flow of money, that is the way that money will feel to you. So what you're doing is you're trying to get yourself, and I say trying to get yourself, but that's not actually how it works. You have to let go of something to let yourself, it's sort of like floating to the surface of it, get there to that feeling of money. But what you're effectively trying to do is you're trying to acknowledge that all that you've done up to now with money has been great, even if it's not great. It's gotten you where you are now. All those beliefs that you learned from your parents or that, you know, all these things that you've done, that's the old paradigm. We're living in a completely different world now. We're living in the new paradigm where you actually, you have the ability now to use space and the energy of money in order to call more in, but it's your beliefs that is, that's the roadblock for you. So what happens is you're in the flow of it. You're probably in the yoga class. You're feeling connected. And then a money thought will come in. Or you might be in a conversation even discussing, what are you going to do at the studio? Maybe you're talking to the owner of the studio. Maybe you are the owner of the studio. These beliefs come in and it's basically a roadblock to the energy. So the work is in the gap, really, really being aware in the gap.
Okay, we got it. We have to define the gap though. And this is all perfectly aligned with yoga philosophy, by the way, that if you create the gap or the space, the prana or life force or money in this case, just another form of energy flows in, that our job is to get balanced, calm, alert, create more space by letting go of these kind of limiting beliefs, and then the prana or the money flows. Is that what you're saying, or is there more to it than that?
That's what I'm saying, but I feel like people are ready for sort of the next step. My take is that people are ready for more of an advanced conversation around the energetics of money. I think we've moved beyond money mindset, getting ready, even to the point of getting rid of limited beliefs. I think that we know that and we're kind of like, okay, show me how to do that. But I think that because we're not playing in the 3D world, the show me how to do that actually has to look different. And people are so attached to give me a step by step, one, two, three, that fits in the 3D world, that they can't actually take in that there is a one, two, three step in the universal world. So once you understand the universal steps, then what you do is then you take them back and you create more of the real world 3D steps. So let's just talk about this like you know, let's just kind of expand on this a little bit more.
Hey, did you know that Optimal State has a special course to help you learn Yoga Nidra? The first course is free. It's called 12 Days of Yoga Nidra, and you can find it at www.optimalstateyoganidra.com. And if you like that and you want to add becoming a Yoga Nidra facilitator to your skill set, no matter what job you do, which might be being a mom or a nurse or a therapist or a yoga teacher, we would love to train you in our 6-month Yoga Nidra facilitators course. Again, www.optimalstateyoganidra.com. We hope you'll join us.
Well, maybe we do this. You ask me a question now.
Okay. So what I think I just heard you say is that we have to step out of the 3D world into some transcendent state. You could call that 5D or whatever you want to call it. Like you have to kind of let go of the physical laws of the experience we're having here as human beings through our senses, go up. There are steps you can take on that realm and learn and then bring them back down into this human experience. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. So my question is, what's the first step?
Well, first step is recognizing that you're already actually doing what we just described. So everyone is using the energy of money and everyone is bringing it down into the 3D. Like we know, you know, we've all read the books where you just feel the money and you feel at ease and then all of a sudden like money comes in and all of that, right? And then we kind of rubber band back to who we were. The first step is recognition that you're not really learning anything new. You're just raising your standards and you're stepping beyond the consciousness of who you currently are. Most of the time, we're just repeating more of what we've done, and then we're expecting different results, right? So the first thing that you have to do, I would say step one, is you have to do that thing with money that doesn't make sense, that feels completely against who you are, and that is outside of you. And it's likely going to feel scary, and it's likely going to go against, it's going to feel risky, and it's going to feel horrible. You have to do that first because you have to send that signal out to the universe. Hey, I'm ready for a new channel. I'm ready for a new way. You have to show up first. Now, in order to do that, you have to get beyond all of this stuff that's going on within in order to do that. You have to get beyond your logical mind. But this is the greatest thing of all, is because isn't that what we're here to do anyways? Aren't we here to expand beyond our logical mind? So all we're doing is using money in order to do it.
Yeah. I mean, when I hear you say that, I can hear some of my yoga business students saying like, are you saying be reckless? Like be reckless and go out there and do things and run up credit card debt? And I would assume the answer is no. We're talking about in the higher realm of consciousness.
If you are choosing something to do something, you're not going to do something that's reckless if it's from the higher version of you. Mm. That's the first thing. The second thing is nothing can be considered reckless unless it's compared to something else in the 3D. Mm. So as soon as you label it, it goes right back down into the 3D, and then your mind can't help but go, give me a plan.
Mm. I see. All right. So if we can go up into this higher level of consciousness, and one of the things I think I heard you say is that's already a fact. Whatever's going on up there is manifesting in this physical anyway. So it's just a matter of admitting that to yourself without shaming or blaming. Like, okay, here we are. So let's say we were successful at that. Can you tell us what step two is?
Yes, but let's go a little deeper on what you said, that we already have the belief that we are creating our own world, right? Okay, so let's really look at that though, because if we truly had the belief that we were creating our own world, would we ever do anything in this world except for focus on our own expansion within? No, we would not. We couldn't.
If we truly believe that, yes.
If we truly believe that. So we are operating with these spiritual beliefs and these 3D beliefs, and we're really not believing and getting energetically behind them. Our mind is telling us that we believe them, which is why we can feel so strongly about something and the whole thing goes to hell in the handbasket because we can't stick to a plan. It's inauthentic.
I was just reading a beautiful book about yoga and Ayurveda, and they said the mind and the senses that have caused our problems, caused us to be in this way that we are now, which is causing us suffering, those are not the same senses and beliefs and values that can get us out of that problem. We'll see more of the same. And it was advocating that we have to do what you're saying, like reach up to something higher, something spiritual, and put our faith in that. And from that place, the mind and the senses and the experience will shift. But we have to get out of 3D and go there. And if we're not willing to do that, there will be no change.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And what we're really migrating into in this conversation is one of the biggest money blocks is self-identity. What we're really talking about here and recognizing, hopefully this is opening up for people here to recognize the fact that you can't keep doing what you've been doing and get better at it. You can, but that's going to cost you time. And that's why you feel exhausted. You have no choice. If you really want effortless money and you don't want to be trading money for time, you have no choice but to go beyond your consciousness. And if you're not meeting somebody new when it comes to your money, you're not expanding beyond because you wouldn't know that person.
Right. They wouldn't even link up with you.
No.
It's so hard. And I'm sure, you know, you said at the beginning that one of the rocks in your shoes is relationships. It is so hard. I just want to give empathy because myself and a lot of us that are going through wanting to be of service and, you know, sometimes not feeling like we have enough money. Like it is so hard to get up into higher consciousness when the 3D reality is really crappy.
Yes, I want to give empathy to that as well. That is absolutely true. But if you'll allow me to do this.
Yes.
So empathy is a 3D term. It is something we've been taught, but it is something that comes from within. We feel that, right? We utilize the term empathy and in a way that we can sort of have certain actions, right? We're acknowledging, we're dropping a casserole off at somebody's house. You know, I live in the South. That's what we do when people pass away. There's different ways that we as human beings, we show this, right? But what I really want to say here is that every term and concept that we play with in the 3D space also contains an element of time because time is the structure of the 3D space. There actually is no such thing as time in the universal field. So when you say, let's give empathy, and we do, we give empathy, we can then move on in that very next moment. But what we do as humans is we go, oh, we need to keep giving empathy. We need to keep people pleasing. We need to keep feeling bad and acknowledging. And a lot of people aren't happy with, you know, the stuff that's just happened politically. We need to keep on it, on it, on it. What happens? We just end up creating more of what we don't want. So we have to be empathetic, but we have to move on and go back within because the world needs our power more than it needs our empathy.
That will be challenging for some social justice advocates and warriors to hear because I think they're afraid that if they take their mind off it, if they don't stay with that, these people will be lost. They'll be suffering. Nobody will be there for them. And so a lot of people in yoga feel that that is the yoga. That's what they need to be doing. And at the same time, I hear you saying we can do that. And in the next moment, we can jump to another timeline, if you will, and focus our energy and our focus and our prana on getting sustenance and bringing it in, maybe even to support the other avenue.
Well, and this is such a great conversation too, because you've really, really uncovered something that is crucial here by just even bringing this down to an example, which is let's use the social justice lawyer that you mentioned. The social justice lawyer is in their power when they are standing up in court, and what they are saying and emulating is from within. They are not in their power when they are in empathy. They must feel empathy in order to understand how to solve the problem, but does not require an extended period of time of that. In fact, we want them to feel that, connect, learn. That's the contrast of the 3D world. It's great that we are not happy about things out here. Thank God, because then that shows us what our next move is. But what I'm saying is, get out of that, get in your power, and then you are rising, and then you're really helping. I'll give you an example kind of that's come up recently. I've seen this with someone in my life where they worry about their child who lives in another city. This individual is a family member. She worries about me. She worries about her husband when he goes, you know, hunting, all of that, like whatever. She's worried. She feels like she needs to worry because that's love. That's her version of caring, but she's destroying her body. She's having health problems because of it. Now, that's an extreme example, but what I'm saying is we have to disconnect this need to feel a certain way with time. It's just a learning tool, and then get back to your real job.
And I would even argue in agreeing with you that it's the real work, the potent work, the nourishing ourselves and jumping back into our power that helps sustain us no matter what's happening in the outside world.
You're exactly right. Exactly right. Because that is the point of effortless for us. When we are living that way, and this kind of circles us even back to the beginning with the managing energy thing. When we are living that way, we do not feel exhausted. We do not feel uncertain. We walk into the room with confidence. It changes everything. And guess what? Money speaks that language. Money will come to you at a greater level at that when you're in that frequency.
And why is that? Is that because energy is money and there's potency and that it's like an energetic match or what? I'm interested in the quantum physics of this.
Well, everyone is attracting money at the frequency that they are at now. And that's why people, they usually stay within the same income range. You know, people bounce back to it. That's also why people get money into their world and then they spend it. Some people, you know, oversave, they hoard it. Like we have all of these things. What we're really trying to do when money comes in is we're actually trying to preserve our own frequency level because that's where we're vibrating at. And we cannot do that if we have an extra $500,000 sitting there that a lot of people say, oh, that creates more problems. A lot of people are concerned about that. What do I do with that? Am I doing the right thing? All this stuff comes in. It's also why, you know, we see like the thing with lottery winners, right? That's why 90% of lottery winners lose everything. So, and we know this, we know we're trying to get back to, people call it our comfort zone, right? So again, going back to when we were talking about the steps here, what was the first step? It was to go beyond your own consciousness to do something new. That automatically puts you at a higher frequency. So automatically what happens is that you have more money coming into your world. Now, this is an important distinction though. Just because you are stepping into opportunities, because all opportunities exist at the frequency you are now. Mm. When you rise in frequency, you have a different set of opportunities.
Yeah.
So what happens is just because you are stepping into that opportunity and calling that person back and lining all of that up doesn't mean that when you go there, you can receive the amount of money that you have in desiring in your mind. You can only receive the amount of money that you feel comfortable with. So when we work on money, we have to work on both sides of the coin. The value creation, which is basically you're just transferring energetic currency for money, but also the receiving. And this is a big, I would say, a bigger problem for women because women are learning how to receive, and that includes money.
Wow, that's amazing. Can you give us even a hint about step two or three if we might want to study with you further and move in that direction?
Yeah. Well, okay. So go beyond your own consciousness. So what happens then? You go beyond your own consciousness. Well, then something's going to happen that's going to be new and you're going to be excited about it. But it kind of goes back to what we're talking. Can you energetically hold that? At that point, if you have a high level of awareness, which I would say most people here do, right? Then that becomes your next plan, because it's not about doing more at that stage. You've already done something. How can you be aware of the things that are going around you and not sabotage it? Because your mind is going to look for evidence that matches the 3D world, but that's the old version.
Right.
So what we do is we go, oh, I did this new thing. And then we think of all these reasons why. Well, that was just a fluke. That was just one time. Oh, that took me too much time. I don't have time to do that in my life. I'm not going to be able to spend enough time with my kids. Da, 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 da. All of these things. It's being aware enough to remain in the new, which is still really bypassing your logical system.
I love that. I think that's maybe even harder. And what I think I heard you say is these new resources that may come to you are part of helping you maintain this new consciousness.
They are. And the way that you get taken out of it, I'll say, is that you start connecting what you're seeing and feeling with time.
And the old 3D timeline.
Yep. That's what you do. We all do it. We go, oh, well, that evidence, which is linked to time, because if you could drop time, you wouldn't need the evidence. Because if you could drop time, you would stay within the feeling of it, and your detachment to time would actually create space around it. And we see this all that. We've all experienced this, right? Like, you find something that you love doing, it becomes what we call a hobby. A hobby is something we really enjoy doing that we don't get paid for, but no one has to tell us that we need to do it that day. Then you see out there, you see like everyone's talking about find your passion. We've kind of already found your passion, right?
Yeah.
But what we do is we're trying to create these businesses around it. But then the businesses bring in like all of the money beliefs, and then even the need to have money. Like, we're actually making it more difficult on ourselves when we start with a passion-based business, because what we're doing is we're saying, I want to go out here and do what I love in the world, but oh, by the way, you need to support me, but I'm not actually going to let you in.
Because my belief may be in the 3D world that, should I be getting paid to do this amazing thing?
It's exactly like calling someone to come over, and you call them and you're so excited, and they show up at the door, and you open the door and look at them and you slam the door. And it's happening over and over. It's very pervasive in the spiritual entrepreneurial world.
Yeah.
And I hate it because people think they're doing something wrong. You're not doing anything wrong.
Yeah. And what about step three?
I don't know that there is a step three, to be honest with you, that we can define here. I honestly think that if you can get to a point where you can do those first two steps, I think step three is going to come from you.
Yeah. I mean, everything you're saying aligns perfectly with yoga philosophy, even the time space, that's something we made up in our minds. Right? That time doesn't really exist. We put it in this linear format, but it actually doesn't exist. That's straight out of Indian philosophy. And then what you said next also, like, get yourself in alignment, stay there as long as you can, and something good will probably happen. Full stop. That's your job.
It will happen. It's guaranteed it will happen, but it's going to be outside of time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you have to have the belief. So it's dropping the probably.
Yeah.
That's our work.
Yeah. Something good will happen.
It has to. And you know, this all starts with your language too. And by the way, this is a really easy thing that you can do, especially being as highly aware as people are listening to this. I banished from my language years and years ago. I will never say, I don't have time. I will never use that, either silent internally or say that to someone, because that's a giant lie. And so the more that you can really look at, what are the lies that you are literally continuing to imprint into your system on a daily basis, you will begin to shift your world.
And how do you even know what those are?
Well, Are they working for you? Do they make you feel good when you say them? I mean, if we feel something in the pit of our, wherever you feel it, I feel it in my gut whenever something's just not right. We say something and then we pay attention to that. It's not the outside situation that's causing that. If you have awareness, it's what just came out of your mouth. You're creating the world. It's radical self-responsibility translated into creating a world that is based on what we desire from within rather than what we think we can have.
And the final question is, what we think we can have connected to self-acceptance and self-love?
What we think we can have is a lie because we are unlimited. We're source. There is no such thing as what we think we can have.
And that's what we hopefully could come to.
Yeah. If we were to show up in every moment as brand new, meaning we had no past, we wouldn't even recognize this world.
Yeah. So, Elizabeth, I want to give you a couple minutes here to talk about your projects, your podcast, your website, your programs, in case people want to connect with you and they resonated with you today. So, what do you want to tell us about the ways that you're manifesting in the world?
Well, you know, a lot of this stuff, as I said, it just moves through me. I manage my energy. And I think all of us, by the way, are doing this. I don't think that I'm, you know, sitting out here. I think that I've cleaned things up quite a bit. I have a financial background. So I was a financial trader for a lot of years and I bought my way out of working on a trading floor. So I was able to retire early and I ended up creating the Spiritual Investor, which, you know, it kind of just was a happenstance thing when someone asked me to help them with their money. And now here I am 7 years later. I share a lot of this stuff that we talked about here. I share a lot of that on the Spiritual Investor podcast. My goal is for people to come in. It's a shorter podcast to come in and be able to take something from there and then go back into their day and practice it. I also run the Spiritual Investor community. That's where, you know, I research stocks, you know, the stocks that I buy, I teach you how to invest. One of the things that people like is I give you an energetic update on where the market is, which is helpful because the really great investors are combining knowledge of investing with their own superpower, which is intuition. And so that's really kind of the distinction is that people in this community, they want money to be fun. They want it to feel easy and they want to be connected to it. So it's a whole different way of doing money, but it's getting you away from having to go out and earn income all the time because you should be taking some of that. Hopefully, I don't even like to use the word should, but hopefully you would want to let some of that expand on your behalf by investing it. And what that's doing is it's buying you out of having to rely on earned income. The goal being it's someday you will wake up and go, I don't have to do anything today that I don't want to do. And it's a great community. I mean, I love it. We have one of the tiers starts out at $17 a month. So it's not a huge commitment in terms of cost. It's not a huge commitment in terms of time. What I've found is that if I can just help people get started, then they can create a lot of wins on their own. And then they can kind of decide from there, you know, the tiers go up from there. And then I do have a high level mastermind that I run once a quarter, which is phenomenal. So you can Instagram, I'm on Instagram a lot, just under my first and last name, Elizabeth Ralph. TheSpiritualInvestor.com is where the products and things like that, and the Spiritual Investor podcast. I'd say there's something to meet you where you are, which I love about this. Like, I get it. We're all at a different place. And I would even say, like, if this conversation resonates, then great. Then maybe go further with that. If it doesn't, though, I would say find someone who can kind of guide you through that, get to that next level with money, because we're moving fast into the world where people are really, really getting their arms around how to use the energy of money to create more. And you want to be at the forefront of that. You don't want to keep waiting. Even if you look at the market has gone up 24% last year and another 24% this year. And there are a lot of people who said, I need to wait.
Yeah.
So that would say that is probably the most important thing. Whatever you do, stop waiting. You don't need a lot of money to invest. It's more important that you start.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. I'll put all of your contact information in the show notes. And I just appreciate you taking the time to be here and bring your potency to be with us and to help us imagine what's possible, really.
Thank you. This is a co-creative process. Every time, you know, I talk to someone about the stuff, it just elevates me too. And that's what's so amazing, because that's getting us towards the oneness, right?
Yeah.
Thank you for this, Amy.
Thank you. Have a great morning, afternoon, evening, wherever you are. Thanks so much for being here. Thank you, Elizabeth Ralph, for being with us today and sharing your knowledge, your wisdom, and especially your presence. And the thing that I want to end the podcast with today is a little story to illustrate exactly what Elizabeth said. I was talking to a young man today, and he was saying that he wanted to ask his girlfriend out on a date, but there were not affordable restaurants that he could take her to, and he listed off several of them in town. He said, I've lived here my whole life, and I can't find any good restaurants that I can afford to take her to. And I said, I've lived in town just a few months, and I have discovered this amazing restaurant. And he looked at me when I told him the name. He said, that restaurant, that hole in the wall? And I said, yes, it's the best food I've had in Minnesota. It's the best price you can imagine. Do not let the external, you know, view of what you see from the outside. This is home cooked food like your grandmother made. It's fresh. It's delicious. It's amazing. And it's so inexpensive. I said, I really think even if you picked it up to go and you all went home and had dinner or went to a park or something, I said, this is an amazing place. And he said, how could I have missed that all these years? He said, I've lived here my whole life. I said, I don't know. Apparently you weren't looking for it. And that's what Elizabeth is saying. Some of these things can be right in front of our face, and our beliefs and our values and our ideas are stopping us from walking through that door. He saw this place from the outside and didn't want to go in. I said, you know what's in there? You got to go try it. Same thing with what Elizabeth is inviting us to do. She's inviting us to step into higher consciousness and give it a try. No different than me telling him, hey, why don't you give this restaurant a try? So I leave you with that. You have nothing to lose by trying the things that Elizabeth talked about today. And I'm going to go sign up for that $17 a month base tier. I think that's something I could use. So have a great day. It's been so nice to be with you today, and we'll see you next week. Thanks for everything. Bye-bye. Thank you to our guest from this week. It is always such a pleasure to go deeply with another human being for an hour and have that recorded to share with the rest of the world. I think it's one of my favorite things that I've ever done. And there are other ways that the Optimal State would like to share with you. One of those opportunities is to meet with me over at the University of Minnesota Bakken Center. We have therapeutic yoga classes multiple times of the year, and they're always in a four-week series, like 4 weeks for low back and hips, 4 weeks for upper back and neck, 4 weeks for insomnia and anxiety. So we'll put these links into the show notes. And if you'd like to join us online through the University of Minnesota Bakken Center, we'd love to have class with you on a regular basis. A special thank you to our team here at Optimal State. We are truly a global family. George Mantuan, one of our executive producers. Adam Satchel, senior media producer and sound engineer from the Philippines. Krishna Panchal, a producer from Canada. Modupe Abdullahi, who does the show notes and is an editor for us from Nigeria. And Peter Morley, who wrote and produced the music for this show, who lives in Australia. Find more about Peter's work at www.zenmusic.biz. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time.